Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I had a whole bunch of people send me this article from Ars Technica. Nabil, Bioscar, and Jason sent it to me. Kate Cox wrote the article, and this is fascinating. It's cutting-edge technology and law. Just turning your phone on qualifies as a search, according to a court. So location data requires a warrant since 2018. Now the lock screen itself may also require a warrant. Smartphones are a rich data trove, not only for marketers, but also for law enforcement. Police and federal investigators love to get their hands on all that juicy personal information during an investigation. But thanks to the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and all the case law, police generally need a warrant to search your phone. And that includes just looking at the lock screen, a judge has now ruled. And it is scary how much information our phones gather on us, and most of us know this. But, you know, Google, if you've got it turned on, will track everywhere your phone goes. And if you have it turned on, you can basically go look and see where you've been in the last month. And if you can look at it, so can other people. Usually when the topic of a phone search comes up in court, the question has to do with unlocking the phone. Generally, courts have held that law enforcement can compel you to use your body, such as your fingerprint or your face, to unlock a phone, but they cannot compel you to share the knowledge, such as a PIN, personal identification number. In the recent case, however, the FBI did not unlock the phone. Instead, they only looked at the phone's lock screen for evidence. A man from Washington State was arrested in May of 2019 and was indicted on several charges related to robbery and assault. The suspect was using an unspecified Motorola smartphone, a StarTAC. No, I'm just kidding. When he was arrested, he says, one of the officers present hit the power button to bring up the phone's lock screen. The filing does not say that any officer present attempted to unlock the phone or make the suspect do so at the time. In February of 2020, the FBI also turned the phone on to take a photograph of the phone's lock screen, which displayed the name Streezy on it. Streezy. Now, the man's lawyer filed a motion arguing that this evidence should not have been sought without a warrant and therefore should be suppressed. Apparently, it's important that this name gets linked to the guy who's been arrested. District Judge John Coffenauer of the U.S. District Court in Seattle agreed. In his ruling, the judge determined that the police looking at the phone at the time of the arrest and the FBI looking at it again after the fact are two separate issues. Police are allowed to conduct searches without search warrants under certain circumstances, special circumstances. And looking at the phone's lock screen may have been permissible as it took place either incident to a lawful arrest or as part of the officer's efforts to inventory the personal effects of the person arrested. So they arrest you. They take you under arrest. They got to check you for weapons. And then if they're putting you in a jail, they're going to take all your possessions and catalog them and put them aside. So for the cop to simply look at your phone and say, oh, it's a phone, that's not that big of a stretch. And likewise, if the phone's turned on to simply look at, oh, hey, check it out, there's a word on there. Well, that's plain view. That's something that was put in front of the officer's face as part of his job. That's going to be allowable. But for the FBI to go back later and say, hey, let's turn this thing on and see what it tells us, that is a separate search. So Coffenauer was unable to determine how specifically the police acted, and he ordered clarification to see if the search of the phone fell within those boundaries. Where the police actions were unclear, the FBI's were both crystal clear and counter to the defendant's Fourth Amendment rights, the judge wrote. Quote, here, the FBI physically intruded on the man's personal effects when the FBI powered on his phone to take a picture of the phone's lock screen. That qualifies as a search under the Fourth Amendment, the judge wrote, and since the FBI did not have a warrant for that search, it was unconstitutional. And I know a lot of people right now are saying, well, Steve, that's such a trivial thing. You have to understand that the FBI had time to go get a warrant. And when you got the time to go get one and you don't get one, it's usually because either you're lazy, you didn't think about it, which is mental laziness, or you think a judge isn't going to grant it. But the point is that if you've got time to go get a warrant, go get a warrant. You get the warrant, this argument can't be made. Attorneys for the government argued that the man should have had no expectation of privacy on his lock screen, That is, after all, what everyone who isn't you is meant to see when they try to access the phone. Guess what? You can't see my lock screen because I'm not going to show it to you. I don't have to show it to you. Instead of determining whether the lock screen is private or not, though, the judge found it doesn't matter. When the government gains evidence by physically intruding on a constitutionally protected area, it is unnecessary to consider whether the government also violated the defendant's reasonable expectation of privacy. Basically, he ruled the FBI pushing the button on the phone to activate the lock screen qualified as a search, regardless of the lock screen's nature. So Kate Cox wrote the article, Ars Technica, which does a lot of good stuff with technology, is the one who published it, and several people sent it to me. And it's an area of law that's being litigated a lot now because there have been some famous examples of people crossing the border, for instance, coming into America. Americans traveling abroad, you're crossing the border, coming into America, and you get stopped at the border and they go, hey, what's this? It's my smartphone. Turn it on. Show it to me. I want to look at it. Or they've got a laptop. Fire up your laptop. Let me poke around your laptop for a little while. And people are like, wait, but that's my private stuff, you know? And of course, when the drafters of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, were writing these things, they couldn't have included a complete list of things they didn't want searched because, you know, they didn't quite know what smartphones were going to be. So they actually just had the phrase in there about your personal effects, your papers, your homes, your personal effects. This, my friends, is a personal effect. In fact, some people, it's too personal. Some people, it's practically an extension of their left arm if they're right-handed, okay? We've met these people. This is what they're doing all day long. What? You talking to me? So it makes sense. And the ironic thing is that if the police officer who inventoried the phone simply saw that name on there and made a note of it, that information probably would have been admissible against the defendant if it became a matter of importance. But here instead, the FBI, for whatever reason, did it themselves, took it upon themselves to do it this way without a warrant. So it's always interesting. But again, the other thing to keep in mind, and I've pointed this out before, is that we have court systems that work like this. U.S. Supreme Court's the top. In your state Supreme Court's the top probably, although in New York they call it something else. Every category of the law has got that one exception. And there's always a court of last resort in your state. And so this appears to have been done at a lower level trial court. And so the real question here is what would happen if this were to go up, as we say. So this is a district judge in the U.S. District Court in Seattle. So if somebody wants to, they could appeal that to the Court of Appeals. And if somebody wanted to then, they could appeal that and try taking that up to the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the U.S. Whether that happens, who knows? Who knows? But these kinds of cases are fun to watch. And this law is, as we say, evolving over time. So there you go. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. A police officer just knocked on my door and told me that my dogs were chasing people on bikes. My dogs don't even own bikes.